Lord, thank you for this time. Please help us to be able to understand more about you, understand more about the qualities that you gave each of us, and how we can live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like you to raise your hand if you ever had a mom. I see some aliens in the group. I would assume, I mean, going back to my biology classes, all of us have a mom. I mean, yeah, they were able to have a baby in a incubated test chamber. But that's not us. I know most of you. So you've all had a mom, right? Mother's Day is one of those wacky, crazy days where there's a lot of pressure put on the day. I am not a mom. I am a mom. I'm not the mom I want to be. I'm too good of a mom. My kids are not good. I don't have kids. I adopted kids. I can't have kids. I am never going to be married. All of these expectations are placed on that. What are you going to do to celebrate me? But see, God is pretty awesome and unique with how he made the feminine qualities. So today, it's great that our teens are here with us because there are several women that are in the teen group to join with the adults that are ladies as well. And I think there's going to be several things that you're going to see about how God made you and how great it is and how to utilize it for bringing glory to him. Now, men, you're not off the hook because God is the God of order as well, but he also calls you to the same things. So you'll have to listen up and apply yourself. I do have a short video, but before we get there, I wanted to show the world's number one mom, at least as far as she felt. The kid might not have thought so. If you ever had to work with children, did you ever find that the child was like that towards you? Maybe you're going on a vacation and you will be tied up with them this next week for a whole week. And you're wondering what you can do when your kids might look like that. That's kind of the nature of life. It's a challenge to know what to do. And sometimes as we grow up, even guys, sometimes we can become our moms. It's interesting. So did you know that they have a Becoming Mom support group? They do, and that's actually the video that the guys are going to queue up for you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Becoming Your Mom support group. We have some visitors with us today. Welcome to you. My name is Mark, and I'm the group leader. And I think we'll start by reciting our mission statement. We love our moms, but we are not our moms.
We love our moms, but we are not our moms.
Carol, would you mind starting us off this week?
Hi, everyone. I'm Carol.
Hi, Carol.
I am the oldest of three roommates, and I'm turning into my mom. I clean up everything after them. I've even started doing their laundry.
I talk to myself in the grocery store all the time.
All of my status updates are just pictures of kids. I don't even have kids.
Same. Well, kids and recipes.
The other day, I almost licked my finger and wiped the face of a total stranger.
I keep saying words like garbage and Tarjay. What is that?
I'll send a text to someone just to let them know I sent them an email.
Well, how else would they know?
Right?
I mean, these shoes were on sale. What am I supposed to do? Not buy them?
I call my husband my son's name. And sometimes I call my son the dog's name.
I always tell people, I'll be like 2 minutes, then it'll be like an hour.
Whoa, whoa, take it easy there. Shannon already has a tissue. We really don't need to offer her one.
I do.
Did you see how they let the momness overtake them? So you may not be able to avoid becoming your mom, but the key is to let the beautiful things about moms shine through in your life. The kindness, the caring, the compassion, the qualities that God gave moms when he created them.
Oh, like when I text my friends, LOL, lots of love.
That's not what LOL means.
That's what my son told me it meant.
LOL, lots of love. What else would it mean?
to be an amazing dancer. Now when I dance, people just get embarrassed. Can I show you?
Yeah. Oh, no, Carol. Carol, sit down.
Oh, it's not bad.
Carol, please.
One, two.
So you see, we can all become moms because of watching our moms. Interesting. Well, I know some of you did not have good moms. You might not look up to them, but still, God puts within moms this innate ability to do something. And yes, there are exceptions, but today we're looking at two specific ones, and it's specifically kindness and goodness. In our chapter number 27 of the Believe book, we've been going through what we believe and why. So today's kindness and goodness, they're called the twin fruits because they're so closely related. Actually, they're more like cousins because they are related, but one does even more than the other. And I'll define those in just a second, but is it possible for someone to do something kind if they're not a kind person? Anyone? Yes, Logan was right. Is it possible for someone to be good if they're not sometimes kind? Yes? And is it possible to be a good person if you don't do good? No? Okay. Well, good in the case of real Christianity, I'll tell you what it is. Both indicate how to respond to others from deep within ourselves, our moral convictions. It's doing the right thing for the right reason, no matter what. So kindness, it's the quality of doing right by one another. Kindness is contagious. It's a warm-heartedness, a softness we show to those we care about. It's actually from the Old Testament, the word is called hesed. And I always knew this as mercy or merciful love, but it actually means God's unconditional tenderness, steadfast love, kindness, and mercy. And it's from the primary Old Testament word that goes for kindness. So there was a Hebrew professor in seminary that they wanted to show the depth of what this means. So he used the illustration of a stork, a bird. That word, stork, is actually the same root where the word hesed, or loving kindness, comes from. So why would the Hebrews use the stork as the main root of that word? Well, the stork is one of the only birds that will adopt a stray bird and raise it as its own, showing the love and care she would for her as a family. So the stork shows adoptive love to these orphan birds, no matter if they're storks or something else. That hesed, that stork-type love, is the same love that God has for us when he shows us kindness. Well, goodness, on the other hand, is the practice or expression of kindness. It's love in action. Actually, it's righteousness in action. So it's doing right in action. It boldly does what's right and encourages others to do so. Goodness, however, sometimes means tough love. It means doing something to genuinely help someone. It could mean speaking the truth in love. And I know that hurts, but it is good. If your friend was walking down a path that you know led to something terrible or destruction or harm, and you did nothing, you would not be a good person. Here we want to be good people, but we don't want to offend. Better to lose a friend in the short term and gain a friend in the long term, or even not knowing that you have helped them. So that's what that word goodness means. Kindness is just like that, being kind and loving. But goodness is doing what is right even when you don't feel like it. There are actions that God does towards us. He rebukes us in discipline. That's his goodness. And he brings us to repentance so he can demonstrate his mercy. That is his kindness. So see, God does both of them. And our passage today is actually in Luke chapter 6. If you wouldn't mind turning there. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36 is what I will be going through. We will not have it on the screen because I did not have enough time with God changing my plans, not his. So if you want to know what I'm saying, I'll read it out of the Bible, but we have pew Bibles too. As you look, the context is really important. Context is always what's happening around this passage. If you start reading the Bible out of context, you'll be able to do verses like this. You rule over the surging seas. There you go. What is the context of ruling over the surging seas, right? So we have to find out what goes on before and after. That's the context. Jesus had just picked his 12 disciples, and now they're all gathered on the plains, as Luke says. They are all gathered to hear about what Jesus has to say. Jesus was popular because of his teaching, but mostly because of his healing and miracles. They came all together. And in Matthew, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. This one's called the Sermon on the Plain. I have to say that both sermons are very close. They're both addressed to disciples. They both have the Beatitudes in it. And they both have generally the same parables. But they differ in some things. There is a level place on the Sea of Galilee. So it's not inconsistent that one could be on the mountain and one could be on the plain. But I think what's more likely is that Jesus, because he is a great teacher, he has a repertoire of things that he covers, a list of things that he wants to cover, and he does it in different locations, and he changes it with different people. So here we have a different glimpse of what he said on the Sermon on the Mount here in the Sermon on the Plains. And I think that they complement each other very well. So whether it's the same message or the message at a different place, it both is the same thing. So I'd like to read verses 27 through 36. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. That's a lot of challenge that Jesus gave. So I want to just unpack a teensy amount of it. The first one is loving your enemies. As this picture shows or describes, sleeping is a luxury. Someone waking you up from a nap might be the enemy. This child is going to wake up his mom. How do you love those that you don't want to have around you, especially at certain times of the day? Well, loving your enemies in this context, I mean, she would get over it. But it's loving someone that you despise, someone that you really don't like, someone that ticks you off or accuses you. Loving those people, it's not a feeling or an emotion, it's actually an action. The way you can do it really is by praying for those who hurt you. Sometimes you won't have the emotion to love. Sometimes really all you can do is bite your tongue. But praying for them and asking God to change your heart about them that will make the difference. That will start transforming you. When it talks about turning your cheek, so you get slapped on one cheek and then turning your other cheek, this blow is probably an insulting slap. Back then it was an insulting slap with the back of your hand. So you turn, you slap the one cheek. That basically you are insulted. To add to that, if you take the person's cloak and you slap them, that's one of the greatest insults they had during those times. So Jesus is saying that though you be insulted, deeply insulted, don't do anything about it. And this is where I think we mess up. I'm just going to read it so I don't, so you hear everything. This is from Randy Frazee. Just because someone has done us wrong, we don't see it as a license to return the wrong. We don't see it as a license to get even. We feel justified to be nasty to people who've first been nasty to us. Not so with God. Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek. Or sometimes we just have to do it. In Jesus' day, when someone slapped someone on the cheek, it was not meant to hurt them physically, but to insult them publicly. When this happens to a growing Christian, Jesus urges them to take this insult into the heart to continue the response. The darkness that used to reside in the heart is no longer there. Little by little, it's cut out. The heart sends a message to the mouth, I don't have an insult to return to you, so I guess it's your turn again. So sometimes it's not the other cheek that we're doing. It's that we're to the point where we won't insult back. So we missed our turn to insult them. That's what turning the other cheek is. It's not taking advantage of whatever you feel is rightfully yours to insult back. Rather, it's seeking to return good for evil. And sometimes when you do good to someone, it's like pouring cold water on top of them. You know, we don't do it just to get that response, because we should do it to honor God. But sometimes the outcome is good. Sometimes it is all right. Well, in verse 31, it talks about how we're to love all people, meaning neighbors and enemies alike, regardless of how they behave to us, and regardless if they love us back. So during those times in Rome, well, she's not from Rome, you need to bite your tongue, and I need to bite my tongue. That's what that lady describes. But benefactors in Rome, they used to have several rich people. I would call them the 1% of Rome. And they would want to give money to these projects. But they wouldn't give out of the goodness of their heart. No, they would want to have their name put up or have a picture of them put into the likeness. So a lot of times you would look on reliefs like this, and the person that was the benefactor of it would have their name or face in the background, so that they could live on forever. What Jesus is saying is, don't be like that. You don't do it to get your name out in lights to live on forever. You do it just because. Now, when Jesus talked about lending to people, the non-Christians would lend and they'd have a really exorbitant amount of interest, the loan sharks of the day. But Jews were supposed to lend without any of that stipulation. And in fact, Jesus says that's not enough. You lend without expecting the money back. So how many of us have lent money expecting money back? You don't have to raise your hand. It's okay to let people borrow money, but sometimes God says you're too stingy with your money. Maybe you just need to let them have it. And if they pay you back, that's my problem. I just want you to do what's right. Sometimes God calls us to do that. And ultimately, this whole passage says that a good man's sons were expected to exemplify their father's character. So God's children should act like them. So let's say that a good woman's sons and daughters should exemplify the good, godly characteristics that the mom has. That's the clincher. See, God wants us to be like that because he wants us to be like him. Our heart-transforming attitude is the grace at work. And only God can do it with us being willing. He can only help us if we are willing to do because he won't go over us. He won't demand us to do something if we don't want to. I guess the last thing, I'll read this in its entirety because I think we mess up on this as well. These are not absolute commands, but illustrations of loving one's enemies and dealing with others as one would desire to be dealt with. They are stark and concrete examples of the general principles of non-retaliation, impartiality, generosity, and graciousness. The examples are radical and thus intended to shock the audience to consider the radical nature of Jesus' ethic. They were not intended to be applied unthinkingly. Last week and the week before, there was a huge up-to-do, I guess, about a person that spoke in the lower 48, basically saying an abused spouse needs to keep taking it because they can change their husband. I understand what his principle is saying, but God does not warrant abuse. God does not say, stay in the situation if it is going to damage and destroy you. Sometimes it is important to remove yourself from that situation. So you turn the other cheek because you want to honor God, but sometimes in those situations especially, you have to remove yourself and ask God to give you clarity. So when you read these things, all these principles, keep in mind that you're still seeking God to give you wisdom through it all. Who is my enemy, God? Who is my neighbor? Who do I trust? See, trust is something that's earned. If it's broken, then if you give it back, that's just a bad idea. Part of kindness and goodness is being smart in that sense. So I just really want us to know that because, like for me when I was growing up, it's a blanket thing. If I didn't do this word for word, I would be missing something. But Jesus says things sometimes so dramatically to be able to snap us out of our lull, to be able to realize what we need to do. So keep that in mind as you start working this out. And verse 45, I'm going to read it to you, but this is probably the clincher of the whole entire thing. The good man or woman brings good things out of the good stored up in their hearts, and the evil man or woman brings evil things out of the evil stored up in their hearts. For out of the overflow of their hearts, their mouths speak. So, would you say your mouth speaks good or not so good? Basically, it's like our heart is a well. And as the well bubbles up, goes to the surface, we can get the good water, or in this case, the bitter water, the water that is not suitable for life or anything. The whole thing is, if we allow the Holy Spirit to help guide us, to help realize what we need to do, our heart is transformed into something that is good. Out of a good heart, goodness flows. Kindness flows. Sure, we're going to mess up. But that's okay. That's part of us moving towards this perfection that Christ has. God sees us as perfect before him. But here in the eyes of us, we are still sinners. And we are still moving towards doing things more right for God. Well, let me give moms and ladies specifically a leg up. A better understanding, because God kind of blessed you with, this is a blanket statement, but as a whole, the ability to nurture, love, show kindness a lot quicker than us men, to be good a lot quicker, and to love even though you don't feel like it. We guys, we might miss those cues. We might bull ourselves through things. You know, we might come around in the end, but ladies, you are a lot better at doing it to begin with. And that's a commendable quality. So I want to read this again and maybe point out some insights I have for you. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. How many people that have worked with kids have gotten scorned by them? Have gotten hurt by them, have gotten slapped by them, and yet they still love them and care for them. Bless those who curse you. How many teenagers said, I hate you, and still the mom prepared them food. Pray for those who mistreat you. How many ladies stood on their knees or kneeled and prayed for those that they didn't like? If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to them the other. How many moms have been hit and yet still love back? If someone takes your cloak, do not stop them from taking your tunic. How many ladies have willingly given the shirt off their back to someone else? Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. How many ladies had a caring attitude and were willing to do without? Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's pretty self-explanatory. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners, they do that. See, moms, they love even though they don't get it back. Mother's Day is supposed to be the day where ladies all over are told how much they are loved, but sometimes they are not told that. And yet, you still love. What is that? Guys, we might write that off. We'd be like, it's not worth it. But ladies, man, you're good at that. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do it. I've seen so many times that you just do good because that's what you do. If you lend to those who you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Again, well done. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting. Then your reward will be great, and you will be daughters of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So ladies, man, this kindness and goodness thing, you kind of got that innate ability. And yeah, it's different for different people, but sometimes we squelch it. Sometimes we say, we're too busy. I have all these things that we're going to do. Oh, my personality is a type A personality, and I'm going to bowl over that. But the truth is that God kind of seeds us with some really intriguing things, intriguing qualities to meet the needs of the world. And for ladies, by and large, it's kindness and goodness. Raise your hand if you've ever been impacted in a good sense by a woman. My kids were not. Oh, they were. Oh, good. Good thing Amy was not here. That would have been bad. And I think you're being honest because, I mean, you get no brownie points for raising your hand. But the truth is that most of us were impacted, in a good sense, at least by one lady in our lives. That's pretty impressive by itself. Raise your hand now. How many of you know any ladies that are younger than you? Okay. Grace, do you know anyone? Jacqueline, I think you know someone, right? Well, did you know that Titus 2 actually gives you a commission? You're the older ladies. It says to pour into the younger ladies. Help them to understand how to grow and how to love. If you are in the teen class, you know, you have different younger ladies, but you go downstairs, you have Twyla and Hannah. They're starting to grow into that role. Then you go even further. I know that Hannah and Hope Wardle are down there too. And the SAP kids, they're all there and they all are ready to hear from someone that is going through it. You're kind of uniquely placed to be able to pour into their lives. So don't let that be squandered. God has gifted you with kindness and goodness. You might not know it. He's also gifted you with the ability to help. There was a lady, her name is Melissa Meredith. She wrote an article, but there were four things that when you help a younger person, that it does. Your presence gives us a strong model of biblical femininity. So no matter how old or how young you are, you can help them to know what it means to be a Bible-following girl or woman. Your stories give us the freedom to live by grace and not perfection. Because you've gone through things, you can say, hey, it's okay. God helped me through it. Your testimony gives us a tangible model of God's faithfulness. Because you've gone through it, you can say, Hold on, hang tight, because God's got it. I lived through it. I know it. And God will help you. And last, your wisdom gives us an unwavering path to follow. So I hope you see that as ladies that were made in the image of God, you are asked to pour into those that are younger. You're asked to give of yourself because that is the right thing to do. But even so, you're going to be helping the next generation to be able to live better. You're able to help them be kinder to themselves, to maybe even love themselves the way God loves them. Now, I said men were not exempt. The verse also applies to you. Out of the goodness found in your heart, good things flow. Would people say that you are a good person, men? Or would they say you do kind things? See, we can do kind things. That doesn't make us a good person. Would they say that we do right even when it's not fun? When we look to our mothers, or we look to the ladies around us, we can see these qualities that God has given them that we need to enhance in ourselves. And for kindness and goodness, what I've found is I have to be able to be willing to allow God to break down my pride, say, no, you need to stop. You need to do that for someone else. You need to make that tough love call. Yeah, I've gifted you to be able to stand up boldly. You're going to now have to do it in love because you want that person to succeed. So as men, God calls us to kindness and goodness too. It's going to take a little more effort. But the truth is that the same Holy Spirit that is in the ladies that believe in Christ is the same one that lives in us. He gifts us, he guides us, and he will lead us into kindness and goodness if we let him. So to summarize, remember that kindness is doing something that the person feels positively about, but goodness means doing the right thing for a person even when it might not make them feel good. So every morning, we ask God to give us opportunities to take the good that he is putting in us each and every day and to give it away from him, give it away to others. So it's like we wake up in the morning, God puts into our good bank a whole slew of this good money. And we need to ask God, how do you want me to spend this today? Help me to be able to have eyes that are open to see who I need to share it on and how to show your goodness to someone else. We approach every day on the lookout to encourage others. In every conversation and encounter, we try to do something or say something kind because it builds people up. In Christ, we have a bank account with unlimited kindness, and we seek to bless others by giving it away. So if we slow down, I think we can be more kind because our agenda is not our own. It is God's agenda. There was an old article. It was written in 1896. I discovered it last night. And basically, for them, it was shawls. We don't really use those much anymore. But let me say a really good North Face jacket. This guy, he wanted to find out about the North Face jackets. And he went to the company and said, hey, I hear you make good jackets. And the owner of the company says, absolutely we do. It's in our factory. And he saw the factory back there. So he walks into the first floor factory and he just sees a lot of fabric all over. A lot of sewing thread all over. A lot of needles. And he's like, well, I thought you made good clothing here. I thought you made good jackets. The owner said, yeah, we do. You need to go up a floor. So the next floor, he saw that they were putting the design together to be able to make this great jacket that works in 40 below weather. He saw that, oh, now there's zippers over there. He told the guy, okay, well, I thought you made good jackets. Guy, you need to go up another floor. The next floor he went up, he saw how they were bringing it together, how the insulation was being married with the back and the front. Okay, I can see. I'm going to have to start trusting you, he says to the owner. He goes up the next floor and he starts to see more of the finished product. Finally, the owner says, go up to the very top floor. And there he sees the final finished product, all done, perfectly made the way they had specified and designed it to be. That's a lot like us. We enter life and here we're on the first floor and we're like, wow, I just see all this raw material. I don't know. You say that I'm going to be able to do great things for you, but I don't see how. God says, go up to the next floor. I think you're ready. And we start, our eyes are open more and more to see how God is piecing things together. Until finally, when we depart like Dolly Taylor did, we get to graduate to glory, to heaven. We reach that final floor, the top of the escalator, and we see the whole finished product. We're like, wow, you did an amazing job creating and designing that. So our path as people that be, as humans being, we have to allow God to work in our lives and to not get so furious with ourselves at the place we're at because, you know, we might be on level 3. And there's a few more above us. Allow God to work in our hearts, to grow the kindness and goodness, and allow us to be what he wants us to be. Because that's the only way that we can reflect our relationship with God, that we can respond as Christ would rather than reacting as the world would. So, moms, ladies, those that are not even close to being married, God has uniquely qualified you to be kind and good. God has uniquely gifted you. You might feel that you screwed up as a parent, as an adoptive parent, as a teacher, as a friend. But God never gives up on you. He redeems the things we think cannot be redeemed. So go knowing that I rise up and call you blessed. Well done, God's good and faithful servant. Let me pray. God, I thank you for your good love. You know, sometimes when you are showing that good love, I do not like it. But I know that it does make me more mature as a person, more concrete as an individual, but even more than that, to be able to show out of the goodness of my heart your goodness. So God, as we all leave this place today and celebrate the moms in our lives, or maybe not even celebrate, please help us to remember the kindness and goodness that you're calling us to, that you have equipped us for it, and you have given us the ability through the Holy Spirit to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you wouldn't mind, right before we leave, I have just two verses for benediction, and if you could stand for them. The first one is just to say it again from Luke 6:45. The good man or woman brings good things out of the good stored up in their hearts. And the evil man or woman brings evil things out of the evil stored up in their hearts. For out of the overflow of their hearts, their mouths speak. But Colossians 3:17 says it this way. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May you go knowing that you are blessed and loved.